Lesson 28, 2 Nephi, Chapter 6 through 8. Introduction. As Nephi recorded the ministry of his people, he included a two-day sermon by his younger brother Jacob. The sermon is found in 2 Nephi, Chapter 6 through 10, and this is the first of three lessons about it. At the beginning of the sermon, Jacob read prophecies of Isaiah concerning the scattering and gathering of Israel, showing that, quote, "The Lord God will fulfill His covenants which He has made unto His children," end quote, from 2 Nephi 6:12. Suggestions for teaching. 2 Nephi 6. Jacob testifies that the Lord will remember His covenant people. Before class, draw the accompanying diagram on the board. Please refer to the diagram in the manual. It is a picture of a man walking on a path leading to the celestial kingdom. Begin class by starting to draw a line from the stick figure along the path toward the celestial kingdom. Explain that when we are baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, we enter the path that leads back to Heavenly Father and eternal life. What happens when we sin or turn away from God? Draw a line curving off the path. What does God want us to do when we turn off the path? He wants us to repent. Explain that to repent means to turn from sin and turn back to God. What do you think Satan wants us to believe when we sin and step off the path? Explain that in 2 Nephi 6 through 8, which contains the teachings of Nephi's brother Jacob, we see how the Lord responds to those who have turned away from Him. As students study these chapters today, invite them to look for truths that reflect the Lord's feelings and efforts toward those who turn away from Him. Summarize 2 Nephi 6, 1 through 7 by explaining that Jacob told his people that he would liken Isaiah's teachings about the scattering and gathering of Israel unto them. Place a sign labeled Jerusalem on one side of the room and another sign labeled Babylon on the other side. Explain that the students will represent the ancient Jewish people. Invite students to take their scriptures and stand near the sign labeled Jerusalem. Once students are gathered there, invite a student to read 2 Nephi 6, verse 8 aloud. After the verse has been read, explain that in 587 BC, shortly after Lehi left Jerusalem, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and deported many of the Jews to Babylon. Prophets had repeatedly warned the Jews that this would happen if they did not repent of their wickedness. Invite the students to move to the sign labeled Babylon. Invite a student to read the first sentence of 2 Nephi 6, verse 9 aloud. After the sentence has been read, explain that this prophecy was fulfilled around 537 BC, when King Cyrus of Persia, who had conquered the Babylonians, allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Invite the students to return to the sign labeled Jerusalem, and ask the same student to read the rest of verse 9 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what would happen after the Jews returned to Jerusalem. Who would come among the Jews after they returned to Jerusalem? You may want to point out that the Holy One of Israel refers to Jesus Christ. How would the Savior be treated among the Jews? Invite a student to read 2 Nephi 6:10 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what would happen to the Jews after the Savior's crucifixion. What did Jacob say would happen to the Jews after the Savior's crucifixion? Explain that this prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70 when the Roman army besieged Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Many Jews were killed and others were driven and scattered throughout the world. Invite students to scatter themselves around the room. Point out that in 2 Nephi 6, Jacob explained that the Jews repeatedly chose, or would choose, to turn away from the Lord. How might you expect the Lord to respond to the Jews' choices to repeatedly turn away from Him? Invite a student to read 2 Nephi 6:11 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for how the Lord will respond to the Jewish people. How will the Lord respond to the Jewish people? What truth does this teach us about the Lord? Students should identify the following truth. The Lord is merciful. You may want to invite students to consider writing this truth next to verse 11. According to verse 11, what is one way the Lord will show mercy to the Jewish people? By gathering them back together to the lands of their inheritance. Invite the students to gather again around the sign labeled Jerusalem. How can knowing that the Lord is merciful help us when we step off the path and turn away from Him? Invite students to return to their seats. Point out that Jacob's teachings in 2 Nephi 6 show the Lord being merciful to His covenant people even after they have been very wicked. This does not mean that there are not consequences for our decisions and actions. However, it does indicate that if the Lord would be merciful to these people, He will surely be merciful to us individually, as we repent and come unto Him. Invite students to ponder the ways the Lord has been merciful to them. Invite them to write the following phrase in their study journals or class notebooks. I know the Lord is merciful because blank. Then invite them to write their thoughts and feelings to complete the statement. After they have had sufficient time to write, you may want to invite a few to share what they have written. Caution students not to share anything that is too personal or private. Note: Writing improves sharing. When you invite students to respond to a question in writing before sharing their thoughts with the class, you give them time to formulate their ideas and receive impressions from the Holy Ghost. Students may be more inclined to share their thoughts when they have written them first, and what they share will often be more meaningful. Invite students to consider whether there are any sins they need to repent of. Testify that as they do repent, they will receive the Lord's mercy and forgiveness. Summarize the rest of 2 Nephi 6 by explaining that Jacob also prophesied of the Gentiles who would be saved if they would repent and not fight against Zion. He further explained that God would contend against the enemies of the house of Israel and deliver His covenant people. 2 Nephi chapters 7 and 8. Jacob shares Isaiah's prophecy about the Savior's ability to redeem His covenant people. Invite the class to consider if they have ever sold something to another person and later regretted their decision, perhaps because they missed the item they sold or felt they had not charged enough for it. Consider asking one or two students to share their experience with the class. Invite a student to read 2 Nephi 7:1 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord said the Israelites had sold. What did the Lord say the Israelites had sold? What do you think the Lord meant when He said, quote, "For your iniquities ye have sold yourselves," end quote? The Lord had not sold or forsaken His chosen people. They had sold themselves into the captivity of sin. Once we have sinned and sold ourselves into captivity, what needs to happen in order for us to regain our freedom? Write the word redeem on the board and ask students to explain what they think it means. As needed, help students understand that in this context, to redeem means to buy back, deliver, or rescue from captivity. Invite students to read 2 Nephi 7:2 silently and look for what the Savior said about His power to redeem us or buy us back from the captivity of sin. What do you think the Savior meant when He asked, "Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver?" End quote. After students respond, explain that the hand and arm of the Lord are symbols of His power. He who has a shortened hand is weak and powerless. Write the following truth on the board: the Savior has the power to redeem us because of His atonement. Explain that in 2 Nephi 7:5 through 7, we read the Lord's explanation of some of the things that would happen to Him as part of His atonement. Invite a student to read 2 Nephi 7:5 through 7 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for words and phrases that describe what would happen to the Savior. Explain that the phrase, "Lord God," in these verses refers to God the Father, and the words mine, I, mine, and me refer to Jesus Christ. What words or phrases in these verses describe what the Savior experienced as part of His atonement? What do you think it means in verse 7 that the Savior, quote, set His face like a flint, end quote? Consider holding up a rock. You may want to explain that flint is a very hard stone. This phrase refers to the Savior's firm and unbendable resolve to endure all of the suffering associated with the atonement. What does the Savior's willingness to endure the suffering involved with the atonement indicate about His commitment to us? To help students discover evidence that the Savior has the power to redeem us because of His atonement, divide the following 6 scripture passages from 2 Nephi 8 among groups of students. Verses 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 7 through 8, 10 through 11, 12 through 13, and 14 through 16. Ask each group to find a phrase in their assigned passage or passages that shows the Lord's desire to redeem us and His power to do so. After sufficient time, invite each group to read the phrase they have chosen to the class. Ask them to share what they have learned from the passage. You may want to invite students to consider marking the phrases that their classmates share. To conclude, share your testimony of the Savior's power and desire to redeem each one of us. Commentary and background information. 2 Nephi 6, verse 2. What priesthood was held by Lehi, Nephi, and Jacob? Jacob said that he was called of God and ordained after the manner of His holy order, and that he had been consecrated by his brother Nephi. When he spoke of this holy order, he referred to the Melchizedek priesthood. President Joseph Fielding Smith wrote, quote, "The Nephites officiated by virtue of the Melchizedek priesthood from the days of Lehi to the days of the appearance of our Savior among them." End quote. From Joseph Fielding Smith, Answer to Gospel Questions, 1957, Volume 1, page 124. 2 Nephi, chapter 6, verse 11. They shall be gathered together again to the lands of their inheritance. In 2 Nephi 6:11, Jacob teaches that the gathering of the Jews to the lands of their inheritance will occur, quote, "when they come to the knowledge of their Redeemer," end quote. This will mostly occur at the second coming of the Savior. See Bruce R. McConkie, The Millennial Messiah, pages 228 through 229. Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles noted that many Jews are now gathering to Palestine, but they are not doing so as a result of a belief in Christ or an acceptance of the laws and ordinances of His everlasting gospel. Therefore, this gathering is not the gathering promised by the prophets, but rather is a preliminary gathering and a preparatory work occurring before the gathering that Jacob and other prophets spoke of. See The Millennial Messiah, page 229. Supplemental teaching idea. 2 Nephi chapter 6, verse 11. The Lord is merciful. To illustrate the truth students identified in 2 Nephi 6:11, that the Lord is merciful, invite several students to take turns reading paragraphs aloud from the following account given by Elder F. Burton Howard of the 70. Quote, "A few years ago, I was asked to speak to a group of young men. I don't remember now exactly what was said, except that near the end, I made the statement that no one present had done anything for which he could not be forgiven. After the meeting was over, one of them came up to me and said, 'I just have to talk to you.' We found a little unused classroom, went in, and closed the door. 'Did you really mean it? Did you?' he asked. 'Mean what?' I said. 'The part about none of us had done anything that could not be forgiven,' he replied. 'Of course I did,' I said." Through his tears, his story came. He was of goodly parents. All of his life, his mother had told him that he was going on a mission. Before he turned 19, he was involved in serious transgression. He didn't know how to tell his parents. He knew it would break their hearts. He knew that he wasn't worthy to serve a mission. In desperation, he began to look for an excuse not to go. He decided to take up smoking. He felt that his father could understand that better and would not probe for the real reason. Smoking would hurt his parents, he rationalized, but not as deeply as the truth. He soon found, however, that the bishop wasn't put off by his use of tobacco. The bishop told him just to stop it and go on a mission anyway. So, to get away from the bishop, he entered the military service. There he fell under the influence of some good Latter-day Saints. He stopped smoking. He was able to avoid major temptations. He served his time, received an honorable discharge, and returned home. There was only one problem. He felt guilty. He had run away from a mission. He had run from the Lord, and sensed somehow that gnawing discontent which comes when men do not live up to the purpose of their creation. End quote. From F. Burton Howard, Repentance, Ensign, May 1983. How might the truth we identified in 2 Nephi 6:11 help this young man? What would the young man need to do to repent? Explain that Elder Howard next spoke with the young man about the principles of repentance, such as confessing and forsaking our sins and experiencing godly sorrow. Elder Howard and the young man both felt that the young man had sought to return to the Savior by doing these things. Read aloud the conclusion of Elder Howard's account concerning this young man. Quote, "The young man said, 'But after all of that, how can I ever know the Lord has really forgiven me?' 'That is the easy part,' I replied. 'When you have fully repented, you feel an inner peace. You know somehow you are forgiven because the burden you have carried for so long all of a sudden isn't there anymore. It is gone, and you know it is gone.'" He seemed doubtful still. "I wouldn't be surprised," I said, "if when you leave this room you discover that you have left much of your concern in here. If you have fully repented, the relief and the peace you feel will be so noticeable that it will be a witness to you that the Lord has forgiven you. If not today, I think it will happen soon." I opened the door, and we went out together. I didn't know if we would ever meet again. The following Sunday evening, I received a telephone call at my home. It was from the young man. "Brother Howard, how did you know?" "How did I know what?" I asked. "How did you know I would feel good about myself for the first time in 5 years?" "Because the Lord promised He would remember no more," I said. Then came the question, "Do you think the church could use a 24-year-old missionary? If they could, I would sure like to go." End quote. From F. Burton Howard, Repentance, Ensign, May 1983.